am who you say I am. Not who the devil says you am. That's good English, isn't it? Not who the people around about you, your friends, your family, the people that would bring a bad report against you, but it's what God says you are. He says, you are my child. I have chosen you. I have called you by name. And if he has called you, and if he has adopted you into his family, he cares about you, he loves you. He has destined you to a future of significance and hope and purpose and breakthrough, that you would not be journeying through life under burden, under bondage, in defeat. He has said that you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let us stand up strong and tall in Jesus' name. Let's worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you. You are such a mighty God. And Father God, even as we open your word today, we pray, Holy Spirit, speak powerfully into our heart, into our life, into our destiny. Change our thinking, shape our thinking, Lord God. May our thinking be adjusted to the declarations of your word, rather than declarations that have come from other sources. Oh, Lord God, may we believe your word to be true and every man a liar. Oh, God, speak into our hearts powerfully, we pray, Holy Spirit. Take your word and make it live in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Yeah, there's a real sense of God in the house today. Just love the words that were just coming through the scripture and words spoken in declaration during the worship time. And I just know God has something great that he's going to deposit into our hearts today. So who has been here over the last couple of weeks as we've started this brand new series? We've got about five of you have been here in the last 2 weeks. the series is called, What Are You Looking At? And you can just look around the room and don't say that to the person next to you. What are you looking at? You know, they're looking at someone really awesome because we are children of the Most High God. But we started this new series and there's a scripture that says, we shared on New Year's Eve, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I am going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert. I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. But the declaration is, don't you see it? In the sense that, in other words, open up your eyes and get a glimpse of what God is up to and what God is doing. Don't you see it? Have an awareness of the spiritual reality and the heavenly realm, rather than just what we see with our natural eyes so far as our circumstances are concerned. The first week we were talking about opportunities or obstacles. And, you know, most things that we do in life have both opportunities attached to it and obstacles. Someone once said that the door of opportunity hinges on the hinges of obstacle. And some of you may be aware, I've shared, today's Mission Sunday. And by the way, if you want to give towards the work of missions, there's a spot in your missions envelopes where you can include money that goes towards the work of missions. But we've got a Tithely app. If you don't know how that operates, you can just look up the app store, type in Tithely and type in Aspire Church and we'll be there. You can give that way towards missions or any other area of giving. But in the month of July, we're planning towards a trip going to Africa. And part of that will be around about the middle of July, heading off firstly to South Africa. We're just setting up the details of ministry there. But then from there up to Congo, or Democratic Republic of Congo, where there's going to be just a major convention that's going to be held over several days. And and then down to Zambia following that. So it's going to be a busy three-week window being there in Africa. Who knows, you think about something like Africa, who knows, there's obstacles and opportunities, opportunities and obstacles, all sorts of things. I could be thinking about, they say malaria is pretty bad there, if you're getting by mosquitoes there, you know, you could end up being sick for the rest of your life and having to have medication and tablets because of, you know, some of the, you know, things that you could pick up. You could be thinking about the weather. You could be thinking about some of the challenges that are being faced by way of security. There's a whole lot of stuff you could be thinking about so far as obstacles are concerned. And if you only ever saw obstacles, guess what? You would never venture out the front door. You would never go anywhere or do anything. But as we go in the plan and purposes of God, whatever that be, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's see the opportunity rather than the obstacle and what God is about. The next week, last Sunday, we had Pastor Charmaine and Pastor Uji, Pastor Editha. That was a pretty awesome message, wasn't it? And they shared about chaos or control. And it was a very visual message, and they were sitting up here on the stools just so graphically introducing the story. And that was really, really brilliant to see, you know, that unfold. You know, that sometimes we can have a bit of chaos going on. And in fact, I just pulled up one of the slides from last Sunday, and I'm going to put that up on the screen. Yes, they did use this from a few weeks preceding. And yes, I was up in a plane. It was kind of like a bit of a birthday flight. And there I am, upside down. Depends on which way you want to look at the photo, but I was actually upside down. And what are you looking at? Is it chaos or control? And sometimes we can feel like things are out of control when we are looking at our own human perspective. But in God, well, all things are possible. But anyway, I couldn't help myself on this slide because I was traveling at 4 G's. And today we're talking about 4 G's, which is grapes, giants, grasshoppers, and God. Is that good? And again, really what's been shared in the previous 2 weeks really overlaps and filters into this week because it's really going through one essential story that is relevant to our life's journey and what we are doing in the here and now. And just believe God for your life and your circumstance, no matter what you are navigating at the moment, no matter what the devil might be trying to speak into your life or circumstances might be saying to you, believe God that even if it's looking chaotic, even though from your perspective it might look like things are out of control, trust God with your future, trust God with your circumstances, know that in God there is a way and it's yes and amen. Let your yes be yes. And let's go with what God would do. So it all has to do with what we see, what we perceive about our circumstances. Now, we've been talking about the people of Israel. They had been set free from a season, around 400 years of slavery in Egypt. God had set them free under the leadership of Moses. And they had been around about just into their second year after being freed from slavery. They were in a wilderness area and they had been traveling towards the promised land. God had spoken to their forefathers, to Abraham and those that followed, declaring a promise that God would give them a land and it would be a place of just prosperity, a place of blessing, and they just needed to be following God's direction. So around about 2 years into this journey through a wilderness, God speaks to Moses and he says, I want you to appoint 12 spies to go and spy out the promised land. Choose a leader from each of the tribes. There was 12 tribes. And send them out and investigate this land, which it says in verse 2 of Numbers chapter 13, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to them. God said he's going to give it to them. So it wasn't like, I wonder if this is in God's will or maybe or if. God had said he's going to give it to them. And go and have a look. It goes down in verse 17, after he'd appointed these spies, he gave them instructions and he says, go by way of the south, go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Have a good look. See whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not. And then it makes this statement, be of good courage. You know, the fact that we are venturing into a promised land, it may be something that you are stepping into and you have a degree of uncertainty about it. It is not a lack of faith to investigate first. In fact, I don't want to go too far down this track, but, you know, sometimes we have faced health issues and we say, is it wrong to see a doctor if you get sick? Is that a lack of faith? Well, they investigated this promised land and they had a look. Let's see what the lay of the land is. Let's see what we are actually dealing with here. And they went in to investigate. And sometimes to actually discover, okay, let's find out more about the circumstance. Let's find out more about the situations that are before us. That is not necessarily a lack of faith. That's equipping ourselves with knowledge. I know what I'm dealing with. So when you pray, you know what to be praying for. So as they were going to venture into this promised land, they knew what they were up against. It wasn't saying, would we go and do this? It's a matter of when we go and do this, what might it be that we're going to have to deal with? And let's get some strategies in God as to what might need to be done. I was watching a movie on Monday. I think it was in the cinemas last week. It was a story about Sir Winston Churchill. He was elected as the Prime Minister of England at a time when they were in the Second World War and they were almost facing annihilation. They were pretty much on the shores of France, just about to, you know, go across the English Channel and to take England, and they were in dire straits. And it was at that point that Winston Churchill was elected as the Prime Minister of the nation. And within days of his appointment, they were about to pull the plug on his leadership. His closest colleagues wanted him gone. They didn't like what he stood for and his approach. And they were actually talking about making compromise with Hitler and almost, in effect, surrendering the life of their nation under that regime. And it was a desperate hour. In fact, it was called The Darkest Hour. I think the film was called The Darkest Hour. And they were really in a place, what were they going to do? But something rose up in the heart of Winston Churchill. I believe God must have put a tenacity in his spirit to, rather than succumb to the enemy and the foes and the forces that would come to bring defeat to their life and their nation and their future, something rose up in his heart. And I'm sure there were praying people in the nation that were just coming before God on behalf of their nation and their future. Here's a slide and here's a quote. It says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. And you may be in a place where you think, oh, I've got it all good. Well, we need to keep it good. We need to keep pressing into God, no matter what be the circumstance. And the people of Israel were told, go and spy out the land, but you've got to be courageous. It's not going to be given to you on a platter. You have to do some very deliberate things if you're going to see this become a reality for you. But then failure is not fatal, and sometimes we've had some challenges and some failures in our life's journey, and we think that's the end of the road, but the answer is no, it is not the end of the road. With God, we can live to see another day, and by His Spirit we can rise up, but it is the courage to continue that counts. And these spies needed courage, and though that is a secular quote, it is certainly true in the Word of God that we need to be of good courage, as it says in verse 20 of Numbers chapter 13. And so we're talking about four G's today, and we need to be looking at what they saw. They all saw four things, starting with the letter G, and you already know what they are, so we don't have to be a little bit cryptic, just reveal them at the right time because you know what they are. So that's all okay. What was the first one that they saw? They went and they saw grapes. In fact, Moses told them, come back, bring some grapes or bring some of the fruit of the land back with you. And in fact, it was so plentiful, so prosperous, they carried a bunch of grapes. I just could not resist bringing some grapes along today. They brought the grapes along, carried by a couple of poles on the shoulders of a couple of the men, and they brought the grapes. Don't forget the grapes. Who likes grapes? Mary Ann likes grapes. Come on, take a cup. There's three grapes. Anyone else like grapes? Oh, there we go. These are fresh, by the way. These are awesome grapes. You want some grapes? Who knows it's a lunch week today? Is that right? It is a lunch week. You're all staying back? Of course you are. You're going to get some grapes. Would you like some grapes? Yeah, there you go. There we go. Like some grapes? Cool. Here we go. I know we're going to grow this church really quickly if we do this every week. You want some? I think I'm dropping a few of these on the ground. Here we go. More grapes. I think I'm going to have a couple. These are amazing grapes. Why wouldn't you want to go and take on a promised land with grapes like this, yeah? They are so delicious. Pastor Phil, you want to pass some of those around? So they're grapes. By the way, I can take that slide off, that's okay. This slide's good slide. So there was grapes. Yeah, put the next slide. Yeah, that's great. So there was grapes in the land. And they all saw the grapes and they came back with a report. Man, the food, there are figs as well. Oh man, it's an amazing land. We've got to pursue this. And sometimes we will go in and we will see potential opportunities that are before us. And we need to keep our eyes on those opportunities and think, well, this is really cool. What do the grapes represent? It wasn't just about the grapes. They didn't go to take a promised land so they could get some grapes, although that would be a good reason. They went there because the grapes really represented potential and prosperity. There was potential in the land. If they go there, look at what can be ours. Look at the lush land where we'll be able to grow our crops and have huge produce and prosperity. They were going to be living in a place that would be just really, really amazing. And I know we, will often be in places where there's incredible opportunity for prosperity and to be blessed and to experience so much more of what is yet before us. And don't let those dreams be stolen from your heart. When things get planted in your heart and in your spirit by God, don't let the devil steal them from you. Keep them alive in your heart. And particularly if you have a sense of a now word from God, that you really sense God has put this in my heart. I know he's impressed it on me. We're going to do this thing. And don't allow the enemy to deprive you of it. So anyway, they came back with that and they were talking about the great things that are yet before them. And by the way, I just feel also to say today, there may be some of you that you have prospects for employment or for career or family or things that you know that you want to venture into. And there's been many people across the congregation over the years that I remember having stood here at the altar that we've prayed over, and we have seen those dreams become a reality. We have seen many, many dreams become a reality. There's so many people that have just got promotion after promotion after promotion and new job opportunities and homes and, children's education. Lots and lots of things have resulted in so many different situations that people have faced. Just know God. If God be with you, all things are possible. Now, they came back with the report. And so they said, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and there's fruit, and there's everything there. It is an amazing place. But then when they began to look around, some of the guys came back with a report. They said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, Caleb comes back. Caleb and Joshua, they were the two godly leaders. They said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to get it. Let's get those grapes. Let's do this thing. But the other 10 that were with them, has been mentioned over the last few weeks, who had gone up, they said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave Israel a bad report. In fact, they went there with their binoculars. And they had binoculars back then, didn't you? Yeah, they did. They did have binoculars. By the way, these belong to my father, and so I'm very blessed to have these. I just need to get them out of the case. A bit hard to do with a microphone in my hand. Cool. They're very well built, very well constructed. Let's see if we can get them out now. Okay, there we go. Here's the binoculars. And so they were looking into the land with their binoculars. And they were looking. And you know when you've got binoculars and you start, everything gets bigger. Oh, man, they're huge. These giants, they're massive. Oh, man, if we go there, they're going to kill us. Sometimes we've got binoculars that make our circumstances look bigger than what they really are. We see with our eyes. We see with our eyes of doubt and fear. And all of a sudden, the things that might have been a certain size and caused a certain degree of angst in our heart, all of a sudden has loomed larger than we have ever thought possible. We're looking with these binoculars. And we have to be thinking, what kind of binoculars are we going to be looking with? And so they gave a bad report, and they said, the land through which we have gone devours its inhabitants. It's like this thing's gobbling everyone up as they walk in. And all the people whom they saw in it are men of great stature, and there we saw giants. And so they saw giants in the land, and giants represent obstacles and opposition. And so often we will see opposition. Yes, we will see obstacles, but it is a matter of how we view those obstacles. Paul the Apostle, when he was traveling into Ephesus, he spoke about when he was there in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. He says, there is a real opportunity here for a great and a worthwhile work, even though there are many opponents. It's interesting, when Paul was writing, he didn't say, look, there's a great opportunity here, but there are many opponents. He says, even though there are many opponents. In other words, too often we put the word but in. But there is a problem. I sense God has put this into my heart to do, but. I don't like the word but. It's like saying, you're not going to be able to do this. We're going to have to put the brakes on here. But. He says in New King James Version, it uses the word and. Even though there are many opponents. There will be opponents when we start to move forward in life and in the things of God. There will be, but we need to make a decision about who is writing the script and who is leading and guiding us in what we do in life. And so they saw these huge giants. They said, there we saw. Okay, now we're going to get on to the next G. This is grasshoppers. Maybe we can put the grasshopper. See the grasshopper there? You know, some people eat those. They do. Maybe fried, you can bake them. I don't know how you eat grasshoppers. But anyway, you can eat them whole maybe. It says, then we saw the giants, and it says in verse 33, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And it says, and so we were in their sight. You know what I've discovered with binoculars? You can look through binoculars the wrong way. We can look at us. Now, firstly, we were looking at the giants that way. Oh, man, they're huge. But if you turn it around back to front, everything gets really, really tiny. And you start looking, man, look at all of our army here. Man, oh, we're just a bunch of pipsqueaks. Oh, we're so small. Oh, we're just tiny, weak, little, famished group of tiny soldiers. What could we ever do? So as they looked at their adversaries and saw them to be giants, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Not only did they see themselves as being grasshoppers, but the enemy saw them as being grasshoppers as well. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you perceive of yourself actually becomes what you become. I wrote this morning, I was just reflecting a bit more this morning on this. It's like a spirit of intimidation can come over the heart and life of a person. A spirit of intimidation and fear comes over your heart. You're intimidated by your circumstances, and you need to rise up with what God places in your spirit for your life and your future. Don't allow a spirit of intimidation to settle upon your heart and your life, but stand tall and strong in Jesus' name, and rise up to be the person that you are. I'm going to take quite a different tack here, because I just think that this speaks into reality. We want to talk about real life and what real life looks like. One thing I've discovered as I've read through the book of Psalms, and particularly now at the moment I've been reading through a translation called the Passion Translation. It's a brilliant translation. It just really brings out the character of the emotion and the heart of the book of Psalms. And in chapter 73, the psalmist is writing about his circumstances and how sometimes life just does not look particularly fair or right or good. And he starts off in verse 1 with this statement. It says, "No one can deny it. God is really good to Israel and to all those with pure hearts, but I nearly missed seeing it for myself. I missed seeing the incredible things that God was up to in terms of his goodness in the heart and life of his own nation." In verse 2 he goes, "Here's my story. I came so close to missing the way. I was stumbling over what I saw with the wicked. When I saw the boasters with such wealth and prosperity, I became jealous over their smug security, indulging in whatever they wanted, going wherever they wanted, doing whatever they wanted, with no care in the world, no pain, no problems. They seemed to have it all made. They lived as though life would never come to an end." He said, "I have been so foolish to play by the rules. Have I been so foolish to play by the rules and keep my life pure? Here I am suffering under your discipline day after day. I feel like I'm being punished all day long." Do you ever feel like maybe somehow God is punishing you? Somehow you think, oh, maybe I'm having a hard time in life. Maybe life's not working out because somehow I'm in God's bad books and he's sort of dishing out a bit of bad treatment to me along the way. People have those conversations in their head. People process their circumstances in the light of, is God happy with me or God angry with me? They go through tough times, and they sometimes will attribute that to God having caused that. But this is how the psalmist continues. He gets to verse 15 and he said, "If I had given in to my pain and spoken of what I was really feeling, it would have sounded like unfaithfulness to the next generation." You know, too often we go through stuff in our own spiritual journey trying to make sense of God and our circumstances and why, those why questions that we have in our heart. Why could God let this happen to me? If everything's good with God, why did this happen? Why did my wife have a hot air balloon accident last year and she's now had to navigate a wheelchair and a boot and now probably she'll be having another operation sometime, hopefully in the next month, to get the screws out of her foot? Why would God let that happen? And if you allow those things to settle into your heart and into your spirit and you begin to think about that stuff, it will rob you of your destiny. It'll rob you of your faith. It will fill your life with doubt and fear and insecurity, and you'll become a victim of the enemy. And he will toy with you, he will mess with you, and you will be robbed and deprived of your future in God. We need to keep our eyes on him, and that will lead us to the next point in just a moment. But he says, if I had given in to my pain of my circumstance, trying to make sense of it, why God, how could you let this happen? And spoken what I was really feeling, and he was feeling this. He was feeling this stuff. How is it that all the good guys seem to do it hard and the bad guys are getting away with and enjoying life? He says it would have sounded like unfaithfulness to the next generation. Watch what you say to your kids. Watch the words that you speak in your home. Watch the words that you speak to your spouse, to your friends, your fellow believers here at church. You can either fill people with faith with our words and lift people up and encouragement and give them hope for their future and say, but God. Or you can sow discouragement and hopelessness and despair. If he had have spoken what was stirring up in his heart and declared it to his next generation, to the generations to follow, they could have been deprived of a sense of faith in God, his greatness and his power. We know that the generation that were due to be going into the promised land, they all died in the wilderness because they brought back a false report and they refused to lay hold of what God had for their life in the future. Let's have a good report like Joshua and Caleb that say, we can do it. We are well able. If God be with us, who can be against us? Let's lay hold of our future in Jesus' name. In fact, a little bit later on, a later psalm, I think it's psalm, in fact, I'll tell you where it is. It's found in Psalm 78. It talks about one generation shall praise your works to the next and declare his wonderful works that the generation to come might know and not forget the works of God. You know, we need to be speaking, even in the most trying of times, words of faith, words of life, words of hope for our future. He says, if I had given into my pain and spoken what I was really thinking, feeling, it would have sounded like unfaithfulness to the next generation. Watch the testimony. Watch the words that come out of your mouth, not just to others, but even to yourself. You know, you read through the Psalms. The psalmists, actually, the writer of Psalms speaks to themselves. It is well, O my soul. You ever heard that song? It is well with my soul. What are you doing? He's singing to himself. I'm feeling pretty good today. I'm good. Life is tough, but I'm good. It is well with my soul. Maybe we need to sing that song, but not now. But then there became a moment as he's battling, the psalmist is battling with his circumstance and making sense of the stuff of life. He gets to verse 17, and I love this. He says, but then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, or into the worship, you know, into God, before God's throne room. And in the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. Friends, we need to get a grasp and a vision of God and his greatness and his majesty. We don't need to get a bigger vision of our giants. In fact, I dare say we don't even need a bigger vision of the grapes. Certainly, we don't need a bigger vision of our grasshoppers. But we need a vision of God. But then, you go back to the previous one again, the slide, yeah, he says, but then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, into God's presence, and the light of glory of his presence, my distorted perspective vanished. I saw things differently. Friends, we need a heavenly vision. We need to understand a heavenly reality. If you're struggling with some stuff, we need to come before God. We need to spend time kneeling in his presence. Say, God, I need you to speak into my life, bring fresh revelation of who you are, of your glory, your light, your power. Let our vision of God get bigger. Let it not be the vision of the grasshoppers or the giants or all the other stuff that we navigate. Let us get a greater picture of who God is, his power at work in our life and in our future. And in the light of his glory, a distorted perspective will vanish. If you're struggling with some stuff, you need to be getting with God more often. Get into his presence. If you're awake at night, get out of bed. Just kneel on your, go somewhere, kneel before him and just say, God, speak into my life. Give me a heavenly reality, heavenly perspective, a God factor being birthed on the inside of my heart. And we continue the story. I love this. Next slide. It says, God. And then that's the final G. And it says, and when I saw all of this, what turmoil filled my heart, piercing my opinions with your truth. All these opinions that I'd built up in my heart about God and God not being fair and God not being right and why God and how God could you let this happen, all of a sudden it pierced my heart and those those opinions of heart were demolished, piercing my opinions with your truth. You know, the biggest way to overcome doubt and fear is the truth of God's word. And as you lay a hold of the truth of God's word and you allow that to speak into your reality, guess what? You can be strong, you can stand tall and mighty. And as was mentioned last week, get a hold of the word of God and begin to quote it, begin to speak it. If God be for me, who can be against me? Just start to quote scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Begin to quote scripture. Let it speak into your reality. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Start to declare the word of God over your circumstance and over your future. May it pierce the opinions that we might have and fill us with his heavenly reality. On to the next one. And he says, Lord, so many times I fail, I fall into disgrace, but when I trust in you, I have a strong and a glorious presence, protecting and anointing me. Forever, you're all I need. Forever, you're all I need. And as he came to understand the reality of the presence of God, it just powerfully dispelled. He understood there was God's glorious presence over his life, protecting and anointing him, equipping him for all that God had called him to do. And then this final scripture here, you'll see, it says, but I'll keep coming closer and closer to you, Lord Yahweh, for your name is good to me, and I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. And may that be something that we're going to begin to declare the greatness of God. Let's begin to declare how good God is. I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. Let our focus be heavenward. Let it be Godward. Let us just begin to come progressively and continually into his presence. And let's with our lips, rather than bringing the bad report, let's with our lips bring the good report of how amazing a God we have come to love and serve. And you know, one thing I found, you know, just like with Pastor Julie's accident, we just begin to declare, God, you're with us. We start to declare the positive reality of what God is doing. By the way, she's gone off to Clyde North this morning. She'll be there at the service and I'll be here right through till the end of lunch. How cool is that? And so, but we just refuse to allow those things to fill our spirit with negativity and fear and despair. You can choose what you're going to allow to fill your heart. You can choose what you're going to be thinking about. Who knows it's true? You can choose. You can choose what you're going to be speaking about, what you'll declare with your lips. And this psalmist was struggling with some stuff. He was struggling with his feelings, but he refused to declare that to the next generation. But he gets to the end of the psalm and he says, I'm going to declare your awesome works. I'm going to be talking about all the good things you've done. Think about the stories of the past. All the times God has answered prayer and God has done miracles. Begin to declare the miracle working power of God. Begin to lay a hold of his word and begin to speak it out with your lips. And as you do, faith will arise, because there is faith is stirred in our heart through the word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you read the word of God, as you declare the word of God, faith will arise in your heart. Lay hold of the reality of what God has for you, your life, and your future. There are grapes. There is prosperity. There is potential in the land, in that which God has yet before us. Yes, there are giants. Are they real? Yes, they are real. Are the obstacles real? Yes, they are real. Are we grasshoppers? No, we're not. We are men and women of God. Yeah? Amen? And as we look to him, and as we come into his heavenly sanctuary, as we get a greater vision, a greater picture of who God is, and as we see reality, not from our perspective, not from the enemy's perspective, but from God's perspective, we will rise up tall and strong and victorious as we lay hold of all that God has before us. What are you looking at? What do you see? Bless God. Let's pray. Father God, we so thank you for your powerful word, which transforms our life and our future. We thank you, Lord God, that there is power in your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have saved us, not just with a set of rules, not with just a bunch of philosophies, but you've saved us with a heavenly reality of what has been accomplished at Calvary and the victory that is now ours in your name. We thank you, Lord, that all heaven, the resources of heaven are at our disposal. That, Lord, you have said that if you did not even withhold your only Son, shall you not freely with him give us all things. Lord, may there just be a sense of your destiny and your enabling, a heavenly perspective rising up on the inside of our hearts to lay hold of all that is yet before us. Father God, we would take authority. And I just speak right now whilst we're in prayer. You've got spirit of intimidation over your life, a spirit of fear over your heart. In Jesus' name, we break that. In Jesus' name, we break it. In Jesus' name, if you've been wrestling with thoughts, wrestling with fears, wrestling with just the enemy nagging away in the inner resources of your inner part of your heart, your life, in Jesus' name, we take authority over it. We break the power of it in Jesus' name. Just surrender it in Jesus' name. Just say, God, I repent of allowing these things to take root in my heart. We take authority over it in Jesus' name. Break the power, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we pray, let revelation truth burst forth in hearts and lives here today. Set us free, oh Father God, from intimidation. Set us free from fear of failure. Oh, Father God, help us to embrace the reality of your word, which is truth. Father God, and to see the heavenly vision and the heavenly purpose that, Lord God, you have called us to. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. I just sense this is a holy moment. Just lay it before him. Just give everything over to God. Let there just be repentance of heart. Repentance of heart for unbelief and doubt that you have allowed to take hold of your heart, to take root in your heart. We just give it over to you, Lord. We give it over to you, Lord. And we accept a heavenly reality, a heavenly vision of our life and our future. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, let enemies be demolished as the giants that we have seen. Let them be demolished before you. For your awesome presence. Pray. Thank you, Jesus.